giving our presenters today. I think it's only one group, one presentation, if I'm not mistaken, by the of the Moravian Church in South Africa. So we would like at least to know whom I brought along, so that when we raise some question, we'll be able to know who is that person. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Good morning.
To you also, ma'am. Thank you for having us here today. Along with me is Reverend Keith Vermeulen. He's the Parliamentary Officer for the South African Council of Churches. And I am the President of the Moravian Church, representing the South African Council of Churches, and in particular Bishop Ivan Abram, who is the leader of the church leaders in the South African Council of Churches, and also presenting here then the Methodist Church today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy that at least you are leading the men, being a woman. At least they are feeling the taste of that women can lead. And then your neighbor there.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Keith Vermeulen, South African Council of Churches Parliamentary Officer, as I've been introduced by the representative for the South African Council of Churches Church Leaders Forum. I am here simply to assist with any questions that may be asked, and perhaps just to say that the Council of Churches Church Leaders met on Thursday last week, the 28th of August, to discuss the repeal bills with the affected churches, the Methodist Church of Southern Africa, the Apostolic Faith Mission, the Dutch Reformed Church, and also had input from the Bible Society, although the Bible Society is not a member of the South African Council of Churches. But on behalf of those three churches, especially Madam Chair, I bring you the greetings and apologies from the Chair, Bishop Ivan Abrams, is unable to be with us, from the General Secretary, Mr. Eddie McHugh, also unable to be with us, and in that sense have asked and will hand over to Sister Angeline Swart to present us with the decisions of discussions of the consultation that was held around these, both the Methodist Church, the Dutch Reformed Church, the Apostolic Faith Mission Bible Society last week. Just in brackets to say, it's good to be with you in a different portfolio committee. I think we last met when you were at the Portfolio Committee of Social Development. But Madam Chair, I think suffice it to say that I'm here in a support role, and if needs be, we'll assist Sister Angeline with any questions that may come from yourself. And I'll hand over to Sister Angeline there to do the presentation to you.
Maybe before you do that, you have to know which people are talking to and who are these people. And then even I refer it to your neighbor there that he introduced himself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ben De Toey from the Dutch Reformed Church Parliamentary Office. I was here yesterday. And in support also of this submission as a member of the SACC, also one of the affected churches. Tomorrow is my birthday, so maybe we could just continue with our celebrations afterwards. Thank you.
From KwaZulu Natal, member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Chair, morning. My name is Desiree van der Waal. I originate from the Limpopo province and a member of this committee. Seeing that Mr. De Toey is having a birthday tomorrow, it's my 31st anniversary today. So it's not only spring month, it's a lot of happenings.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Pierre John Gerber. I'm the proposer here. And seeing as we are birthdays, today is the
also the birthday of my late father, who passed away many years ago. He was also a Dutch from Germany, so we're still busy with church stuff. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kato. I'm a member of the committee from the Northwest Province.
Good morning, my name is Dorothea Mudibe, a member of the committee from House.
Morning, I'm Peter Malazin, a
member of the committee also from House.
I think I've already introduced myself, that I'm Chivasa Joseph from Limpopo. My constraint is to Endo. If you want me, they will tell you she's around. And then we have official legal advisors. I think it's one today. Can you please introduce yourself to the people?
My name is Lucila Matabate, parliamentary legal advisor.
We have an official. Can you please introduce yourself so that they must know you when they meet?
Tendama Dima, Controller, Education and Recreation Class, thank you.
I'm Baba Lanchanga, the PA for Ms. Chivas.
I'm Pen from PMG. Okay.
Good morning, I'm Olivia Sipra, the committee assistant.
Alinga Masan Bulola Matigani, committee secretary.
She's a commissar. Thank you very much. Over to you, the presenter, Angeline.
Thank you very much once again. We would like to make some proposed amendments to the memorandum of objectives. The amendments to the memorandum of objectives we would like to read as follows. The objectives of the bill are: A, to give effect to the constitutional principles of human dignity, freedom of religion and association, equality and the advancement of human rights and freedoms, non-racialism and non-sexism, and B, to remove legislation that is anachronistic and redundant, and C, to appeal the Methodist Church of South Africa Act of 1978, that's Act 11, the Dutch Reformed Churches Union Act of 1911, and the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, the Repeal of Laws Private Act 1961, and the Apostolic Great Mission of South Africa Private Act, number 24 of 1961. We also wish a new paragraph 7 to read as follows: implications for churches and organizations affected. These are to be dealt with by inserting a savings clause in the bill as proposed, as 4.1. Proposed amendments to the bill, 4.1, insert the savings clause as a new paragraph 2 to read as follows. Any determination made or any legal status granted or decision, appointment, or action taken by any person, body or authority or deemed to have been taken or done under the Act repealed, or any appointment or regulation made in terms of the Act repealed, or any act, legal transaction, right, privilege, obligation, or liability deemed to have occurred or vested in any person or body, acquired, accrued, or incurred under the Act repealed, shall continue to be enforced until it is rescinded or varied by the highest decision-making body of the affected church and or the organization. And then the number should also change, renumber the present number 2 to number 3. In conclusion,
The above is not to be seen as an attempt to stall or to impede the process, but to generate a spirit of genuine and dignified cooperation to the implementation of the proposed repeal. The churches and organizations so affected recognize the bill and proposed amendments as favorable to their existence. This is desirable, moreover, within a country governed no longer by apartheid or colonial statutes of inequity, but rather by a constitution and democratic framework that guarantees our exercise of the practice of freedom, of religious belief, expression, and association. Those are the proposed amendments that we would like to bring to this committee to consider. I thank you.
Thank you very much. That was court and bondage. I believe that, Reverend has said that he can add to whatever he wants to, or just there for to sort of like respond to the question or add something. If you have something to add, you can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, it is our sister's been caught in bondage, and that's the sum of the presentation that the church leaders have asked to present to you and the committee, Madam Chair. I could simply just add is that it's come out, and I think I just want to reiterate again that the decisions that are tabled before you have come from a consultation with the very churches affected within the South African Council of Churches. And maybe just to add that I'm pretty sure that most of the members here present will acknowledge and know the history of the Council of Churches and that our representation expands to 26 denominations. Perhaps most interestingly, that not all of the churches within the South African Council of Churches are governed by private legislation, and that there are churches that exist without such legislation, and that situation was acknowledged at the consultation, and there was a genuine sense of cooperation and working together to present this proposal to you, Madam Chair. So I don't think there's much more that I need to say other than that it is covered with the full support and the cooperation of the members of the South African Council of Churches. And perhaps just an indication that there will be no separate submission from the Methodist Church of Southern Africa. It regards this presentation as its presentation as such. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for your contribution. I believe that sure that it was or it is one of the members of Parliament would have to raise some questions for clarity. Over to you, Honourable Member.
African African Council of Churches represents all the churches in this country. If not, which one are not represented? The second issue, talking about equality and advancement of human rights. We are from a very skewed past. We've got unemployment, poverty, in our midst. We still have a skewed distribution of land in this country. I just want to find out what is the South African Council of Churches doing in advancing or eradicating unemployment and poverty? I'm a bit concerned that the South African Council of Churches seems to be taking, it's not visible in advancing the aspiration of these communities it represents. The Council of South African Council of Churches is not outspoken in advancing. I'm just a bit concerned. And we have just seen our communities are taking the so-called foreigners. The South African Council of Churches.
Sorry, please, can you please return
your question, maybe?
Sorry? Can you please return your question? Okay, it's been relevant to the president.
Chief, can I just please, on a point of order, we're actually dealing with the repeal of a bill. We're not, the council is not here as an entity to tell us about their doings. We're actually here to repeal a bill. So that is what we should discuss.
Thank you. That's what I wanted also to raise to him, that can you please be relevant to what actually they were really addressing and be short?
I think that's very relevant, because all these things that I'm advancing here, they're in the very same document. And if I do not address them as they appear in the very same document, then I don't know why I should be here. Mr. Van der Waal, I think she's lost.
That we can attend it. Yes. So, this meeting is not part of our meeting. Let's give her the respect she deserves.
I want to say that I should be given chance, because this thing is appearing on the document that I'm reading. That is presented by the South African Council of Churches. I don't take it elsewhere. So I just wanted to find out what is the South African Council of Churches doing in this regard. Thanks.
In the absence of any question, can you respond to the question?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity. I think to answer the Honourable Member's question in the first part is that the South African Council of Churches does not claim to represent all churches in South Africa. I think we made it very clear in our presentation that we represent 26 denominations. What those other denominations are, I mean, I don't have time to spell them out, and I don't think it's a duty for us at this committee to spell it out. But our membership, and this comes from an estimate not by our own, but through the Statistics South Africa, in terms of the breakdown of who represents what in terms of religion. If we extrapolated the last census reading, you would understand is that the breakdown of membership is presented in there, and would simply point you to that. From that extrapolation of the membership of the churches that belong to the South African Council of Churches, we estimate that we represent between 15 and 16 million members in South Africa. So not all, but it's a sizable proportion. Madam Chair, I take the point, secondly, that this is not the time and place in terms of the repeal bill to deal with the issues and the operations of the church or of its history or context. But allow me to say, I think the validity of the question lies in the essence in another piece of legislation and in other areas where the Council of Churches certainly has been discussing and does discuss at its national levels the issues of xenophobia, does discuss the issues of international affairs, and does certainly the issues as they affect poverty, eradication, justice, and so forth are discussed annually at our national meetings, and we only take decisions, we only speak in as far as we are able with a unified voice along issues of common agreement. There are times that we often need to express our minds as perhaps from churches that are not agreed on various issues, but save it to say is that we agree fully that under the Constitution that provides for religious freedoms, equity, and the promotion of religious freedoms and human rights. That's the context in which we're addressing this piece of legislation, sir and madam, and that, yes, we by no means saying is that everything's hunky-dory and everything's right in terms of what we've done within the church or within the nation, but that's another, that's for another time and place to be discussed, ma'am. We simply want to agree that the legislation that's put before us is the right kind, very clearly is the right kind of way to express our relationship with the state in terms of religion and politics for dealing with the kind of questions that the Honourable Member is putting to us.
Honourable Nalega, followed by Honourable Van der Waal.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to get some clarity on the amendment suggested. Because as far as I understand this repeal, it's really for the state wants to get out of a situation where we dictate to the church. So I think there's some, when I was going through some of this act, it's so ridiculous where it even says where the headquarters of the church should be, what constitutes a quorum. And I mean, the state can dictate to the church. But now, in your amendment, you want us to say that whatever arrangements existed before should stay in place as they are until you know, the highest decision-making body of the affected churches has taken it. Isn't that still, you know, the same thing that we are trying to get out of? And now we are still dictating to, you know, how the changes should take place in the church.
Wait for the second question, Honourable Van der Waal.
Just some clarity. I think in the proposed amendments under 3, the presenter, under the objects of the bill in C, has got all the acts to be repealed as one, but indeed they should be per bill separately. So I don't, maybe you can motivate it differently, but you cannot have them all in all, everyone is separate that we are amending or repealing, and I think that's the reason for. That I would not see that we could agree to that specific amendment for now. You cannot mention those acts on every single bill because they've got different acts that we are repealing.
Your response.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Member, thank you for that question. We've included there, as we call it, a savings. A savings clause, because as you know, certain decisions were made over the years. People were appointed, property bought, property sold, and whatever. And what we are asking there is that those kinds of decisions made, that be kept and not also be repealed because of the bill being repealed. So that is what we are asking there. That, you know, these decisions made, not necessarily the old laws that are there, but decisions already made by the church that be kept intact and only be changed if the authorities of the church organization so wants to change them. Reverend Premier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to support presenter, Sister Angeline Swart. And to add that the proposal is there not to retain the to retain what is being proposed as a repeal, but simply as a legal clause, which is standard, in my understanding, to any piece of legislation being proposed, that in the event, should any legal action be taken in the repeal, the sense of repeal, during the existence of that current legislation, that the affected organization so be indemnified, as it were, until it is had, because the decision-making bodies have the responsibility for making that, and that in the soonest instance, the highest decision-making bodies of these organizations, once they have written into their law and constitution the repeal, be so legally indemnified or saved, should there be any legal action taken against them in the time between the repeal bill and the acknowledgement by the churches of that legislation. So it's not saying is that it's against that or only when it does, but we're simply pleading for an insertion to recognize the effect of that law, and that decisions were legally taken, and that should any action be taken against for taking decisions during those times, that the legislation so repealed recognizes the legal situation of the affected organizations. Could I go on to address the second, Madam Chair, unless is it on this? The consultation of the churches affected, Madam Chair, was in agreement that this affects the memorandum, the aims and objects of the memorandum. We felt that it could be done in an omnibus resolution because the general idea in terms of the three memorandum of objects applies to each of the organizations as such. However, should that be a case for the individuals that you cannot have an omnibus resolution, I think we will not object to these clauses being revised and the proposal of the revision of the aims and objects within each of these so as to apply. And that would be perfectly acceptable.
Honourable Sarda.
Chair, thank you. I would just like to maybe get the opinion from our legal lady regarding that savings clause. And I think also that will give us guidance forward regarding this whole matter.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the repeal does not undo the act, meaning it doesn't say the act never existed. Therefore, whatever was done in terms of the act while the act was in effect remains valid even if that act is repealed. What the repeal does is from the day the date of repeal, that act does not exist anymore. But it existed until at that point. Therefore, it's not necessary to put in a clause that says what happened in terms of the act before it was repealed stands. That is also covered in the Interpretation Act. I was hoping that I had brought a copy of the act, but I didn't. But it's covered in that act. But the repeal doesn't undo what was done in terms of the act. It just says you can't do it from this day on in terms of the act because the act doesn't exist anymore. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Your Guidance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We thank you for that. We've been advised on this from the legal people to put in the savings clause, but we do accept what's been said to us.
Dr. Dev?
Can I just explain here as well that in the previous round of discussions and submissions, it was pointed out by the Law Reform Commission, amongst others, that there might be need for such a clause in terms of vested interest of the parties that's been acquired during the past 100 years or whatever. So we were kind of advised that that could be a wise thing to do. But if the legal experts here say it's not necessary, then we will abide by that.
Thank you. I can see that honorable members seem to be satisfied about the presentation. I don't know whether that is because it was short. It didn't have a lot of things to tell us. I'm told that you are still going to present something today. Do you have something to tell us? Both of us, you have nothing. I don't know if you are through. The legal advisor, maybe if you have something, maybe to sort of like sum up what or a guidance like we agreed yesterday that you.
Thank you, Chair. As was agreed yesterday, we spoke with the attorney representing the Bible Society, and they emailed to us this morning a proposed amendment, which we have not been able to look at properly. Which I am hoping to do that, or actually I'm going to do that after the meeting, Chair. And comment on the proposal that they're making and try to come up with another amendment which covers their concerns but which is drafted in the way that we usually draft, because the style of drafting is a bit different as well, to incorporate it into the bill and as well as a proposed A list for the committee to approve in the next meeting.
Thank you very much. Do you have something to say?
Yes, we just deliberated now. We want to explain or just to make ourselves clear that if, for instance, point C, where it is an omnibus declaration in terms of all three churches, that would be separated in a technical way, this is unacceptable, then we will abide by that. It's fine. But then point A and B would be applicable to all three cases, if that is understood that way.
Thank you very much.
Chair, insofar as the proposed amendment is concerned, I need guidance from the committee as to the policy decision that is made by the committee and our effect. I mean, technically you can't have all three stated in one act. You would have to put it within the name of the relevant act to which the memorandum of objects apply. But I would need to be guided by the committee as to whether the committee is accepting the proposal subject to the technical changes being made. And that would also include it in the work that I would do after the meeting.
Thank you. Honorable Farber, hang on, sir.
Chair, just to comment on what Dr. Betoye has discussed, and also Mr. Samuel, and the concept of omnibus combining all six pieces of legislation, or five for that matter, the Bible Society being a part of it. I think the whole issue of the churches and the fact that they had legislation is part of the history of churches in South Africa. And if you go look in the Hansard from the 1800s to the early 19th, right up to 78 when the Methodist was adopted, there was such a lively debate, and it's part of the history of the churches. And I think it would be unfair to the churches if one go and just combine the whole lot and say, wham, bam, finish and clear, we scrap it. I think we as legislators might send not a nice signal. Let's repeal them in a dignified way. Each one, we close the chapter, and the churches are, and the state are out of each other's hairs. That's my suggestion. If we don't do it as an omnibus. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think everything was simpler or clearer to us as committee and the presenters. You want to raise something?
Madam Kishan, I just wanted this clarity on the explanation by the honourable member. I thought it's very clear that the SSC's position is for a dignified solution. And if this cannot be carried as an omnibus, I think we're agreeing, and with the Dutch Reformed Church, with the Apostolic Faith Mission, and with the Methodist Church, that those three amendments form central parts to the reason for the repeal. And I would want that the committee discusses that, and that that is genuinely the context in which the repeal is taking place, and that we are not dealing with the actual histories of the churches, but we leave that for a different discussion. That it needs to be seen to be even-handed in dealing with it, and that's why we proposed an omnibus legislation. However, it's not, and as our honourable member has, but I just want to make this very clear, is that then if it cannot be dealt with in an omnibus, the recommendation of the Council of Churches is that these three parts of amendments would cover each of the churches so as to be even-handed in dealing with each of the churches other than its historical reason for repeal, or church historical reason for repeal. I just needed some clarity in terms of that, if we are understanding one another, that the dignity of the moment is indeed the agreement to repeal from the point of view of the Constitution's provision of religious freedom and human rights, etc., in terms of the first point. That was very clear in terms of that the discussion. So I'm not understanding that if we're going to pick and choose by the committee from those, it's not the idea of the Council of Churches, nor of the member churches that would have been visited at that consultation.
Maybe the legal person can assist, but I think if you look at on the four acts that we have here, if you look at Objective 1A, it's only the Dutch Reformed Church that hasn't got that wording. The other three have got the exact wording that you wrote. Under Dutch Reformed addresses the racial discriminatory legislation, but you now want to put B in all four of them. If you just read B, the wording that you propose is different from what is here. But then on C, each act will be only mentioned on the bill on that specific act, you won't put all four. But the legal and peer, honourable peer, must look at the wording then only of that one bill that is different on A. Are you following me? It's only Dutch Reform A is different. B, you've got different wording through all of them here, which are a bit different in each one. C, you understand clearly that you can only mention an act relevant to that specific bill. You can't put other acts in that bill. And therefore, they are repealed separately. I mean, that's easy. But maybe we can have an opinion from the proposer and the legal.
Madam Chair, may I use this opportunity just to go through those, because we discussed this in depth at the consultation, and I don't believe that what we're proposing is any what against to what is being suggested. Whichever way you find the best way of doing, we are saying is that what we agreed to suggest is A, that the objects of the bill, and I think we all agreed to that, to give effect to constitutional principles, etc., that's not included in the Dutch Reformed Churches Act, and we're quite aware of that. But we believe that if we want to deal with this in dignity and in the agreement, the spirit of agreement, that is an essential clause to acknowledge, even though it was not included in the Dutch Reformed Church. The Dutch Reformed Church was present there and have acceded to this forward. Secondly, we had a problem, and I think we had in the previous sitting discussed precisely the wording of blatant racism or blatant discrimination. And we felt that that was not a dignified way of dealing with this legislation. And therefore we proposed and said, at the advice of our legal advisors, that the aim and object of this bill is to remove legislation that is anachronistic, and as the mover has mentioned, it was time-bound. It is no longer necessary. There were senses in which the law even then was not clear to some churches in terms of what it was. So it was anachronistic, and under the current constitutional provisions, they are redundant. We're simply saying is that we're all affected as churches by an anachronistic piece of legislation and a redundant piece of legislation. And then thirdly, whichever way you would choose to deal with that, either in omnibus or separately. But those two provisions, we believe, are central to the reason, and we would want to believe are central to the reason for the repeal, and not the history of the churches, or in any sense, as well as legislation that would be against the kind of constitutional provisions within the church, but rather than dealing with that in a broad, which I think would be undignified. That is the proposal before us. So I don't know if that's clear. We would leave you to work on that, but certainly I'm here to convey the Council of Churches, church leaders' feeling that the proposed amendments and agreed by the affected churches would be preferred to be described clearly in that wording. As you may well choose to look at it, we leave you to work through that.
Thank you very much. I think the legal advisors will sit down and bring up something which will sort of like simplify everything to us, the ordinary people. And let's see if you have the closing statement to come guide us.
No, Chair, I don't have anything that to add, but just to say that that was my understanding that the South African Council of Churches has takes issue with the fact that it says discrimination and racial and gender discrimination, and would rather use redundant as opposed to, which is not a legal question. It's really a policy decision that would have to be taken by the committee, whether you are comfortable with the way it is in the bill or rather with the way that is proposed by the South African Council of Churches.
Seeing that we don't have something to discuss at least, we'll hear more from the legal advisors after their draft. And that if there's something, maybe we'll hear from them. Which need us to sit down. If there is nothing, then we'll accept it as a committee. So I'll release the presenters, and then believing that when we have something, or we can call you if there's something. I don't think you'll say, no, we're busy, we can't come there. We are here to do this country of ours and talk no more about discrimination and whatever. I believe it would be nice for us to talk with one language. You are now released. We wouldn't like to leave you. You asked to leave us earlier, but unfortunately, there's nothing we could do. Thank you very much. Honorable members, thank you very much. Honorable members, you can remain for a few minutes and finish our work here. How about you, Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also wish to thank the committee for their time this morning, for the way you've handled this meeting with us. Thank you, and we wish you well. Thank you very much.
Yesterday, honorable members, we said that everything had to be ended today, to be wiped today, since that we can't be coming back. We thought maybe we'll be coming back for some amendments, but like enough, everything is clear to us. So,
I don't know whether if we have something to can be, except that we are going to debate on the 25th. I believe the opposition have their presentation. People are going to represent them. We also have our members will be debating. So I don't know whether it was something to can. Honorable Dorothy.
For interest sake, just from the legal advisor, is there a reason why these objects of the bill are not where they should be? Is there a specific reason why they're waiting in the objects of the bill?
This will probably be better responded to by Mr. Haber, but I assume it's because the acts that are being repealed deal with different matters. Therefore, that's why the objects are not the same, because the reason why you're repealing the Methodist Church is not necessarily the same as the Dutch Reformed Church, because they deal with different matters.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, thanks. I think the proposal made by the SACC for to make changes to the objects is the Dutch Reformed Church has had a serious problem with the objectives of the repeal bill, and that says basically the fact that the objectives of the bill to remove obstacles in the unification process, and then to remove racial discrimination, and the racial discrimination is under statutes. It's still there. So we are removing that. That's an objective of the bill. And then, but what we could maybe add in that one of the Dutch Reformed Church, and I'm quite prepared to do that, is that we also add number A from the proposal of the SACC, which says to give effect to the constitutional principles of human dignity, freedom, religion, association, that one. But the thing about the racial discrimination in the Dutch Reformed Church is a very real thing, and I think it would not be right of us to come with a blanket objectives for this. It's just not right. I think we'll be failing as leaders of this country not to say something about that in the objectives. And I think that is why the debate at the SACC was probably covered mostly taken up with that issue, that there were issues pinpointed in the objectives, which is something that specific church, the Dutch Reformed Church family, must address, because it is something that is, after 14 years of democracy, still totally unacceptable. Then, so I think one can add A from the proposal of the SACC. The one with the Bible Society is straightforward. There's nothing wrong with that objective. The Apostolic Faith Mission, there are racially discriminatory rules in that specific legislation, because it says it refers to colors and blacks, and it says, for instance, that only men can take up certain positions, although that changes as a church later on, but it's not been changed in the bill. And then in the Methodist Church, there's also discrimination in terms of sexes. So I think if we want to add something in the, I don't think we should take anything out from the objectives of the bill. I think we can rather maybe add that number A, where it is not so. That's for instance in the Dutch function, just to make it a bit better. And then to the Chair, once we do that, I think we should, I would propose that we deal with the four bills on a page-to-page basis, so that we can just say where there's omissions or spelling mistakes, and then we informally, and then once we're happy with that, we can do it formally and adopt it, and then it can be tidied up by the legal people and the grammar people.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Honorable Gerber, actually, I was going to propose that we do not remove anything McAir, because obviously they didn't understand. It was precisely written like this because those were extracts from stuff inside of those specific acts. And you can't have a general application if those acts are written differently with different things. So obviously we would support the adding of that in some way, but not taking it out. Savings clause, I don't really understand that very well. That they want to build in the savings clause as a new thing, but I don't get it at all.
Got it, right?
I think they, in the proposal it's a bit misplaced, because it shouldn't be in the object if it was to be decided that it be included. It would be just before the short title as part of the bill, because if you put it, objects are not part of the bill. It's just explaining the bill. It would have to be included in the bill itself if it was to be included. So it's a bit misplaced in the proposal.
You know, I know the legal advisor did speak on the, you know, where the SACC on their amendment, proposed amendment, you know, because I really feel strongly that we should not put the, you know, where they say that, I think it's a saving thing of it, that everything stays in force until it is rescinded or varied by the highest decision-making body of the affected church. You know, because to me it really doesn't make sense that we should say something like that.
Thank you, Chair. If you look through the acts that are being repealed, most of them empower the churches to own property or properties transferred from some other body to the church. And I think the fear that the churches have is that when the repeal comes into effect, there's going to be a problem with them owning property, or the transfers that had happened would fall away. I think that's their fear, which is not the case, because, like I said, repeal, it stops existing from the point or from the date of the repeal. It doesn't undo what had been done in terms of the act. It only says you can't from this day on do whatever in terms of the act. And what they put in, it's in the Interpretation Act, that the effect of the repeal, unless it is specifically said so, and it's only said so for reasons. You can't just have an act applying retrospectively. It's covered in the Interpretation Act, but it doesn't undo what was done. No.
I think it's a good idea or a good way to fall through.
Thank you, Chair.
This proposed amendment from the Bible Society. Yeah. When, at what stage are we going to look at that?
I can have it ready by tomorrow.
Because I was just thinking maybe Pierre's proposal, when we look at that, we can somehow do everything together.
If I can make just an addition to that, what I would maybe propose is we'll have to come back for that one of the Bible Society, but the changes and corrections on these four bills in front of us are very little. So what I would like to do is maybe just give them through now, so that we all think on the same page, and then the lady also have it. Yeah, and then she's already got it now, and that we've all agreed to that. And then when we come back for the Bible Society, we can, if, unless we decide to do the whole lot now and just leave the Bible Society for later, I would suggest let's see what we can do and finish it.
You want us to do? I wanted to come to that. Can Pierre really do that in that?
Thank you, Chair. I think if we can start with a Methodist church one. And the front page is nothing, no changes suggested there. On page 2, there are no changes or corrections being proposed there. On page 3, the body's consulted. We need to add 2 more bullets there. Under 3, where it says the following bodies were consulted, Bible Society, Methodist, Council of Churches, and so on and so on. What we should also add there is the Dutch Reformed Church, and the second bullet, the Apostolic Faith Mission Church. Because they were consulted and they did make inputs from day one. What we should add under 3, those 5 bullets, yeah, the bodies consulted. 2, we should add 2 more bullets there, and the one is the Dutch Reformed Church, and then the second one we put there also is the Apostolic Faith Mission Church. Because they were consulted, but it was omitted here. So this we need to put in all 4 bills, these of the AF, of these 2 and 3. But I'll come to that now. That is all the changes that we picked up on the Methodist Church. Yes, Chair. Then I think what we should do is. The objects of the bill, that's fine. Okay. The next one we should do, I propose, is the Bible Society bill. On the first page, there's nothing. And then on page 2, we are repealing 2 bills here. There's the Bible Society Act of 1970, and there's also the Bible Society Amendment Act of 1985. If you look on page 3 in the objectives of the bill, 1C, it speaks of 2 bills. Now, the other one, that the Bible Society of South Africa Amendment Act, that was basically just to include the old Southwest Africa into the Bible Society. So that was omitted in the thick black letters on page 2. So we must add there to read, to provide for the repeal of the Bible Society of South Africa Act and the Bible Society of South Africa Amendment Act, Act 97 of 85. So that must be captured. Okay. And then also on page 2, at 1 there, the repeal of laws, the Bible Society Act 1970, so and so, and the Bible Society of South Africa Amendment Act, Act 97 and 1985, is hereby repealed. So those two must just come in there on page 2. Then on page 3, again, the body's consulted. We must again add two more bullets there, under 3, to say the first edition there is Dutch Reformed Church, and then the second one would be Apostolic Faith Mission. I think when they reprint this, they must just maybe do it alphabetically to not annoy any of these churches. Say which one is more important than the other one. The second one is the Apostolic Faith Mission. Yeah, that's what's coming. So there will be 7 bullets there instead of the 5. That's basically the Bible Society Act. Chair, then the Dutch Reform Church Act. Yes. Chair, then the next one is that we can look at is the Dutch Reformed Churches Union Act, appealable. Again, on page 2, if you look at the big letters there to provide for the repeal of the Dutch Reformed Church Union Act and stuff, we're appealing actually 2 acts. If you look at page 3, the objects of the bill, 1C, it says the repeal the Dutch Reformed Churches Union Act 1911 and the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa repeal the Private Act 1961. That last one, Dutch Reformed Churches on South Africa repeal of Laws Private Act 1961, that must also come in on page 1 in the heading there. And it must also then come in on page 2 at repeal of Laws 1, which will say the Dutch Reformed Church Union Act so and so, and then plus the other one is hereby repealed. So that is all on page 2. And I think on page 3, if I may continue, the objects of the bill, in A, remove obstacles in the unification process of the Verenigde. That's not, it shouldn't be Verenigde, it's Verenigende. The word is actually between the G and the D of the Verenigde. The E and the N must be added, so that it would read Verenigende, Gereformeerde Kerk. It's just a grammar thing. So we need to add then. And then I think what we should maybe do at this one is to add that from the SACC proposal, the A, which says to give effect to the constitutional principles of human dignity, freedom, religion, association, equality, of honor. So we can add that in, and then in the objects of the bill it will become, you know, D or whatever. That's brilliant. So we put that of the SACC as A, and we...
I just have one question, Chair. The Dutch Reformed Church had indicated that particular one is not a correct reflection of what the bill was about, because it was unifying the 4 churches from the different provinces as opposed to the 3 different congregations within the Dutch Reformed Church family. So should we not change that to reflect that?
If I may, Chair. The Dutch Reformed Church were not happy with that wording. But the main thing there is, Chair, if someone in the Dutch Reformed Church in Polokwane gets up in the service one day and says, look, there is a person of color here, and in terms of this act, he's not supposed to be here, then that is an act of parliament like that, although it's unconstitutional. But it could be very embarrassing. So therefore, the proposal is to keep it there, because they wouldn't be able to unify the church if legislation like this is still on the statute.
Okay.
Legal advisor? No comment.
Thank you. I think maybe it is relevant because we're also repealing the 1961 Act. But I think the issue was not so much the racial issues insofar as A is concerned, but rather that it was not the three churches that are mentioned in A, but that only the Dutch Reformed Churches, just the provincial synod of the Dutch Reformed Church to form one general synod for all the Dutch Reformed Churches insofar as the 1911 Act is concerned. But I think he said that the unification of the three happened in terms of the 1961 church. So I suppose it's still relevant in that sense.
I think I agree to that. Thank you.
Maybe we can just refer to that document, the presentation yesterday. It is where they actually said, you know, it is actually bringing people under the wrong impression. But I'm not sure the wording as such, as it is here, I don't see it problematic.
You see, this is, if I may say, this is a very a touchy thing for the Dutch Reformed Church. You know, it's a bit of, I think they're a bit embarrassed to discover that this piece of legislation is still on the law books. And but you can't run away from the history. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you want to unify the church, you cannot have any piece of legislation that covers your church that is racially discriminatory. I mean, it's just impossible. So therefore, this A in the object is very, very relevant. And but I think they from day one, when I started with this more than a year ago, I off the record wasn't. they eventually changed their submission. If I can just read to you here, if you read in their submission, you know, the Dutch Reform submission. I must show you the original one, the amended one in 11. It says, although the Dutch Reformed Church thus supports the repealing of the Act and would likely to explicitly, you see, in italic, explicitly express our gratitude towards the Honourable Member of Parliament responsible for this private bill by this exposing himself to criticism by taking the church to. Criticism was from no one else except from the church. But I think they discovered that that you know, their first reaction was too hard. Even the Methodists, they came in there with their lawyers, guns blazing, you know, advocates. I wonder what they spend on legal fees, and now they've toned it down. And they just saw that we actually want to take the state out of the church and liberate it. So my suggestion, Chair, is that it's still very relevant, and I think we should keep it there.
Chair.
Yeah,
to look at clause 13 on the next page, where they actually give the bullet point motivation, three or four of them, on exactly why they feel that is wrong. And I think the two bulletin two and three bullets are actually contradictive to one another, because the one says that he doesn't deny that it was discriminated. Well, two and three, you know, that's got process. If you read that, it's actually contradictory of six. Because I say it.
And also the point of departure is actually that in terms of the colour clause, they say that they actually brought in the colour clause to protect the people of the Cape. This is what they said. This didn't to protect the people, it's actually to not protect them. You know, so anyway.
I think they were trying to cater themselves.
Chair, then in three, I think we should also add again the five bullets, two extra bullets. The first one being bodies consulted must also be Dutch Reformed Church. And the next one that's also consulted is the Apostolic Faith Mission Church. That's the only changes that are proposed on this bill, Chair. And then the last one is the Apostolic Faith Mission Church. Again, the Apostolic Faith Mission Church, there is an amended act, Apostolic Faith Mission Amendment Act as well. Let's just get the wording. I'll give it to you now. Yeah, the word was coming there that on page 2, bill to provide for the repeal of the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa Private Act of 1961, and also to the bill that says Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa Private Amendment Repeal Act. There are two acts of the Apostolic Faith that are being repealed here. It's also having to do with the whole thing of Southwest Africa. Yeah, here's the precise wording. So the word that was coming here in page 2 at the top there, to provide for the repeal of the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa in brackets Private Act of 1961 and the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa Private, in brackets, Amendment Act number 4 of 1970 is hereby repealed. And then that must also come in under number 1 of repeal of laws. To read again, the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa Private Act 1961, in brackets, Act number 24 of 1961, and the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa, in brackets, Private Amendment Act number 4 of 1970 is hereby repealed. So those are only the two additions there. And then, Chair, on page 3, the objectives are fine, except we need to add in 1C, we need to add there, repeal the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa Private Act 1961, in brackets, Act number 24 of 1961, and the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa, in brackets, Private Amendment Act number 4 of 1970. That must come in there. And then under 3, again, the 5 bullets increase to 7. So the 6th bullet would be Dutch Reformed Church, and then the last bullet obviously being the Apostolic Faith Mission Church. That's the only changes we are suggesting on these bills, Chair. So that's it, Chair.
We are so thankful about your contribution, really, which I believe that members felt that they are covered and more clearer as we're trying to sort of like addressing the left out. So I don't know whether there's anybody who wants to add something, but we're deliberating, really, the way we're doing. Can I put the question to the honorable members that the amendments before us here are taken into consideration by the committee, which I believe that the legal advisor will have to add something, are recommended?
But Chair, just as a way forward, I think we can do it in two ways now. Either we can adopt the 3 bills, those are the ones except the Bible Society, we can adopt them with amendment, or we can, and then we do the Bible Society next week or whenever we have our next meeting, or we can bring all four of them back at the next meeting. It's up to the committee.
Honourable members?
I would prefer all four to come back because I just want to study the Dutch reform better because we have to do it clause by clause anyway.
A comment, Honourable members? Honourable Khata? Your hand is up. I've already called you.
Chairperson, thanks. I thought now that we have dealt with the three other things, since we are here, we should once and for all stop them and wait for the last one sometime when you come back after the 15th. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't see why should we postpone.
In any legal process, you actually adopt a new bill clause by clause once you've got it in written form, not on amendment. So we actually want the complete document when you vote on it.
Chair, no, you can do that, but you can also do it by adopting it with amendments. Especially, it depends if it's a very technical act, and legal people must advise us. But I think we're in a position to adopt at least three or four. I'm just thinking if we have to go and reprint this, and when it comes back in terms of the parliamentary program, it might be a good idea to dispense of the three of them and come back for the Bible Society at the latest time. Thanks. Even if we adopt it, I mean, it's a working document because I mean, when it gets printed, you write up to the day of the debate. You can actually suggest changes as well at the table there. I mean, even if it's a spelling mistake or whatever. So not that that's good practice. I mean, you want a proper thing that doesn't have spelling mistakes and stuff like that. But you write up, and then also this bill will probably go to the NCOP as well, and one can, if there's anything that needs to be tidied up there, it can be done there. But I think the way it is, it should be fine to go.
Honorable Dorothy, followed by Honorable Dacher.
Chair, I want to concur with Mr. Faber that I don't think there is anything that really blocking us from adopting this with amendments. We have done that before. It won't be the first time we do with this one. All we have to maybe agree on is whether we want to do that, but not saying that we can't. So perhaps we should just discuss and say whether we want to do that today or we want to wait for the other, I mean the Bible, the other bill, so that we adopt them.
I'm
covered, Chairperson.
I'm now proposing Honorable Affair.
I think Honorable Herbert made that proposal that I seconded. And I don't see why should we continue unless there is a position.
I put the question now. Do you have something to say?
I mean, Chairperson, obviously the one is outstanding. The issue on the Dutch Reformed Church, which I'm trying, with my little bit of background on legal matters, trying to sort out perfectly. So the other two is not a problem, but I cannot support, and we've never had legislation in this committee, but in other committees we normally, you know, look at the amendments and in principle look at it, and then you come back and do clause by clause. So, and we are sitting next week anyway. I don't think if we add another hour, it would make a difference to then go through all four. But on two, there's no problem. One is outstanding, and then there's this one that I just, for my own personal and the DA's point of view, need to just make sure that we are, you know, doing the right thing on that reform. That's all. So,
Chair, maybe the Honourable Van der Waal can just what is the, maybe it can be sorted out, what is the main problem with the Dutch Reform one, and maybe I can answer if I may.
Honourable Van der Waal?
Not really a problem, because I think we all agree. I mean, if you read the presentation, point 12, where they actually said, where they took exception to the fact of the unification process. And if you read 13, somehow it's contradictory, but in other ways, they actually say that that is not part of this act that we are repealing. So I just want to go and make sure that I understand this correctly. You're a caucus here, I'm not a caucus here. I also have a caucus that I have to consult.
You have a tower meeting.
Thank you very much, Judge. I was just trying to check here if we've got any legal person that can assist us. Yeah, I think let's hear from her as to what she can advise on this matter.
But she can't see data, what I say.
I don't know what are we arguing about. It was proposed and then seconded, let's adopt it. Thank you.
Before we come to that one, legal advisor.
Thank you, Chairperson. This will be me probably putting my foot in it in a bit, because this is more procedure than legal, and the committee section staff should be given procedural advice as opposed to me, because all I do is interpret the rules, not really the procedure. But Chairperson, it's either way, it's procedurally correct. It happens where the bills are adopted. Subject to amendments, or you wait until the amendments are before you, and then you adopt the bill, seeing what the amendments are. So it's either way, it's I think procedurally correct, but the committee section people would probably be in a better position to advise on procedure.
I just want to check something. What do we gain if we adopt this with this amendment now? And what do we lose if we adopt everything after we've even received it? It's one of the, is it the Bible Society?
Before you come in, legal advisor, you heard him.
No, I don't think it's going to matter for the legal advisor. I think it's something that's what you say. What is your view? What's your view? Are we losing time?
Chair, no, we're not losing time. We're going to see what the program of your committee is. But, look, the churches is a very sensitive matter, so you don't want to you want to take everybody along with you, and it will actually be a good idea if these bills are adopted unanimously. In fact, I don't even think when it should be a vote, because we all agree. But if there's, I would go with the committee. But they are straightforward. But maybe there's another reason in terms of the program, or the gentleman there sitting next to you has got some other reason. I don't know.
I think what we're doing, we're trying to come to the conclusion and agreement. One believes and thinks that it will be wise enough for us to we have deliberated, I think, to come back maybe on the 16th after the legal advisors have done their part, because we have already seen that where the loopholes and all that. So for now, one would suggest that we adopt these things with amendments and then come back next, whatever date, I don't know what date, the 16th May. And I don't know if we can come back and then, after everything is written in paper, we will be looking at whatever we really have agreed upon. Do you have something to add or to subtract?
Yeah, I thought you were saying that you will come back on the 16th to come and, or whatever date, to come and adopt all the bills.
So, I think we are agreeing that we will be coming on the 16th to adopt everything. It will be before our debate. Are we agreeing or disagreeing, Harbin?
Chair, isn't the People's Parliament that week?
But we definitely think it's better. We have the date, we have the 10th. Which one do you prefer? Honourable members?
According to our program members, we are supposed to finish on the 10th, next week Wednesday. We're supposed to adopt the bills on the 10th. Thank you, Chair. Ninth was reserved for deliberations, and the 10th was reserved for the adoption of the bill. So we can utilize the Tuesday, the 9th.
Is it okay? Thank you. So this brings us to the end of our portfolio meeting. The meeting is like this is the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. We'll meet again on the 9th.